Well, just over this past week, there's not been a lot of data, but the focus has been that many central banks now are starting to shift towards thinking about easing monetary policy. There's an exception to that, it's our own RBA. But looking at some of the others, and starting with the US, we had the Jackson Hole conference started on Friday, and Powell, of course, was a keynote speaker at that one, and confirmed what was starting to come through in the minutes of the last FOMC meeting, that they're thinking that now is the time to start to cut rates. And so he gave a very strong indication that it's that dual mandate thing, where most central banks have this focus on, A, trying to run for full employment, at the same time as getting inflation down to their target. That they're inconsistent targets, and always have been, but they look as if, it looks as if the Fed has just started to pivot towards looking towards supporting growth rather than continuing to bear down on inflation, that it's got inflation down low enough, even though it's still running about 1 percentage point above its target. So that obviously was starting to excite markets as we went into the weekend. Just some of the other data that came through the course of last week. We had the initial jobless claims, the weekly, and they're still pretty low. They're back down in the 220s, early 230s. The most recent week was 232,000, down from 228,000. That still implies a reasonably strong labour market, but there was a quirk with that one, because we had the Bureau of Labour Statistics in the US came out with its benchmark annual revision to its non-farm payrolls report. This benchmark revision is for the year through to March of this year. And according to the Bureau of Labour Statistics, they've overstated non-farm payrolls by the most since 2009, by something like 808,000 over the course of the year through to March. They come up with the final report in February next year, and that's when we'll get all the revisions going back through various statistics. But what it implies is that some of the months we were looking at 300,000 plus non-farm payrolls, which always look really strong relative to other labour market indicators, obviously they're going to be revised back. We'll see some of that revision coming through when we get the non-farm payrolls for next month coming out early in September. And still, non-farm payrolls have been running pretty strongly, but not quite as extremely tight as we thought in the previous data. Having said that, most of the data reports in the US, some of them are still running pretty firm and are still indicative of GDP growth running at or a little bit above long-term average. Last week, for example, we had old-style purchasing managers' indices coming out for the manufacturing sector and the services sector for August. The manufacturing sector, we know, is struggling, and so that came in at 48, down from 49.6, so if anything, it's contractionary running through the manufacturing sector. But the services sector PMI went from a really strong 55 the month before to 55.2, so if anything, that's got stronger. We also had July existing home sales and new home sales came out last week. And after a soft month or so, there was quite a reasonable rebound in both of those. So in existing home sales, they rose by 1.3%. True, that was after a 5.1% fall going back the month before. But new home sales rose by 10.6% month on month, and that was after a 0.3% increase the month before. So quite a bit of power just running through that leading indicator. But it was, as I say, Jackson Hole and the discussions that came through. It wasn't just Powell that was indicating a pivot either. You're getting it from the Bank of England and to an extent the ECB, that they're just watching more the full employment part of their mandates rather than bearing down inflation. So for the time being, obviously that can excite things in markets. But there's also a sting in the tail of this. They're not really getting inflation down to target. And so the misses on that over time, if anything, are going to start to underpin interest rates again as we go further ahead. And very near term, you get a little bit of a rally running through, but it can't go that far with these sorts of changes that have occurred. Moving to what's coming out in the US this week, we get a few bits and pieces of data coming through. We get consumer confidence and consumer sentiment for the month of August. Both of those looking okay-ish. Consumer confidence when it comes out on Tuesday night, looking for that to be around the 100 mark. It was 100.3 last month, around 100.1. We get the final read of August Michigan consumer sentiment. That actually had a slight lift to 67.8. It's expected still to be up there when we get the final figures. A key figures coming out this week, we get revisions to Q2 GDP. Q2 GDP comes out on Thursday. We've already had advance reading of that, and it was running at 2.8% annualized. We don't expect any downward revision to that. So that's still pretty firm for Q2. Also, the Atlanta Fed comes out with its Q3 GDP tracker. This is where they put together the most recent stats and see where that's running in terms of that annualized growth in GDP. And they've got that running at 2%. So that's still pretty firm. Yeah, it's coming back a bit from where it was going back to Q2, but not much. The initial jobless claims are expected still to be in the low 230s, 234,000 from 232,000 when that comes out on Thursday. And a key reading, we've got the July core personal consumption expenditure deflator. This is the Fed's alternative to the CPI. And if anything, it might drift down a little bit further. It was running at 2.6% year-on-year going back to June. May come back a little bit of a touch to 2.5%. So that's not too far above the Fed's target of 2%, although the CPI is just running a little bit higher than that. But the Fed at least, you've got inflation which is within a percentage point of its target. At the same time, as you've got clear evidence of some softenings running through labour market indicators, and we've got things like wage growth which are not running particularly high now. So you can see why the Fed is starting to move towards a pivot, and is giving pretty clear sign that they will be cutting the Fed funds rate at the next meeting when it comes up in September. Just moving elsewhere, China last week. We had the People's Bank of China meeting, month of August. No change here. They left it at 3.85%. Not even doing little tweaks to lean into what is soft, very soft growth in China. And we're hearing more out of China about steel industry and the cutbacks in output in the steel industry. Clearly, the Chinese economy is still struggling. And but we're not getting any reasonable policy response which is going to lift things. This week we won't get an awful lot in data until the very end of the week. Once we get to the turn of the month, we get the manufacturing PMI, the non-manufacturing PMI. The manufacturing PMI last month was at 49.4 contractionary, and the non-manufacturing PMI, the official one, was only at 50.2. There's a risk that both of those might be quite soft when they come out next weekend. In Australia, again, not a lot really coming out over the course of the past week. Very little in the way of data, just some reconfirmation from the Reserve Bank that they are in a different position to what we're seeing with other central banks. Other central banks are looking for that pivot where they think they can afford to start to lower rates. That's still not the case in Australia. Our inflation rate's still too high. And on that, we'll get the latest inflation reading when it comes out on Wednesday for the month of July. Now, the July month CPI will have some influence from some of those measures that the government put in place going back to the budget. It looks as if it'll come in around about 3.4% year on year. This comes out on Wednesday from 3.8% the month before. The trim mean in that, though, will still be much closer to 4%. So not a lot of joy running through the underlying inflation rate, and the Reserve Bank's tending to watch that rather than the headline CPI. We get several Q2 indicators this week. These relate to investment spending, private investment spending in GDP when that comes out at the beginning of September. We get Q2 construction work done. That was down 2.9% quarter on quarter going back to Q1. It's expected to be up probably 0.7% for Q2. And Q2 private new capital expenditure was up 1% going back to Q1, probably up another 0.9% for Q2. And later in the week, we get July retail sales come out. Retail sales have actually improved a bit over the last month or two. And going back to June, we had a 0.5% month-on-month increase. Market's expecting another 0.5%, and that will lift the year-on-year quite a bit too. So we've still got a fair bit of demand running through the Australian economy at this point. So, as I say, the RBA, odd man out, running in a different direction from many of these other central banks for the time being. Moving to Europe. And Europe last week, we had the manufacturing and services sector PMIs coming out in the month of August. Manufacturing still very much in the doldrums, 45.6 reading there from 45.8 going back the month before. The services sector PMI, though, had quite a large jump to 53.3 from 51.9. So that part of the economy still doing relatively well. We also had August consumer confidence came out. That's still very, very soft, minus 13.4 from minus 13, so not a lot of joy running through there. This week in Europe, we get their August CPI come out, the preliminary reading for that, and also the core inflation reading. The August CPI should come down, we think, to about 2.2% year-on-year from 2.6. The core is much higher than that, though, 2.8 from 2.9. Again, sort of tending to hold up a bit. We'll get the July unemployment rate coming out from Europe too. That probably going sideways at 6.5%. And it is things like wage settlements which are starting to mark out different economies at the moment. In the case of Europe and the UK, you've got wage settlements running at above 5% year on year. That obviously means that whatever progress you get on the inflation rate probably is not going to persist. You're going to get a rebound in that at some point. When you come through to Australia, we've got wage growth running at 4-ish%. Now, that is still too high as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned here, particularly given that we've got very low productivity change. And then you go to the United States, and you're now down well and truly into the mid-threes for wage settlements. And that gives you some indication that the U.S. probably has got a bit more room to move in terms of starting to lower interest rates and bringing them down, even though it can't bring it down particularly fast. Whereas, we're stuck, and the Europeans at some point are going to find it very, very difficult to get their interest rates down much further. So just some of these indications which that it's going to be an unusual monetary policy easing cycle around the world. It's going to be very disjointed. It's not going to be coordinated in any sense. And that will start to have some influence on markets as we go a bit further ahead.